You're listening to Everything is Workable, a podcast that examines how every experience, every situation, every moment is an opportunity to work with our mind. I'm your host, Caitlin Hatch, creative polymath and dedicated consumer of Dharma talks, Dharma books, self-help books, and the wisdom of others. I started this podcast as a way of showing my gratitude for these teachings and to expand my own understanding. Thank you so much for tuning in. Earlier this year, I read So You've Been Publicly Shamed by John Ronson. John Ronson is, in case you're unaware, a journalist. You probably have heard of one of his books in movie form. It's called The Men Who Stare at Goats, starred George Clooney. I really recommend his stuff, and I particularly, at the moment, definitely recommend So You've Been Publicly Shamed, which is a detailed account of internet shame campaigns, how they spread, and why we really shouldn't ever participate in them. Basically, it's a book about online aggression and how damaging that is. Now, there is a lot of aggression out in the world, and when we go online, it can seem particularly noticeable and also hard to avoid. It can be enough to make us think that people are basically awful. So I try to avoid going down that path too far by reminding myself that one doesn't do anything because they want to feel worse. That's a common mantra that I repeat on this one. I recommend it very highly. Just remember, no one does anything because they want to feel worse. I also remember that the internet is a tool, like any tool. It doesn't make people antisocial. We determine the functions of the tools that we use, not the other way around. The internet doesn't cause aggression. A lack of awareness and an inability to take personal responsibility can lead anyone to make poor choices, to say and do hurtful things. The depersonalization of our interactions on an online forum, coupled with the instantaneous ability to communicate our feelings, means that we don't always think before we post. We don't examine what we're about to say, if it's helpful or hurtful. We don't always consider that there's an actual human being on the other side of the screen. I chalk this up to largely it's a permeating and harmful understanding that the internet is not real life. This is, pardon my language, best word for it, bullshit. The internet is real life, and it always has been. And just like when someone is standing in front of us, we should really check our intentions before we impulsively call someone a name, or jump on the shame bandwagon, or generally spew our biases or hatred all over platforms like Facebook, Twitter, or the comment section of YouTube. I know we have a long way to go to create a safe online environment where hate campaigns won't spread like wildfire and bigoted vitriol can be justified as okay to leave up because of free speech. But it's something that we can each contribute to right now on a personal level. And in doing so, we can also make our own online experience a little bit less hazardous. I don't know about you, but I realize that I've had to be really careful sometimes when going online because the result of it, of that bombardment of aggression, totally affects a person emotionally. So for some time, I took the approach that attempting to reason with people online is futile. Due to a lack of tone of voice and a genuine face-to-face connection, I've just justified not saying anything on the basis that A, it makes me feel anxious and uncomfortable, B, I see it spiral out of control too easily, C, past experience has taught me that it's a waste of time and effort, and D, I've seen how Anita Sarkeesian is treated for standing up for equality and critical thought, and I'm too much of a coward to put myself at risk of that kind of ongoing terrorism. And I want to be really clear, what happens to people like Anita Sarkeesian and those sort of hate campaigns, that is terrorism. That is what that is. But I've got some issues with my own reasoning, because not the terrorism thing, I've no issues with that. That's what it is, clearly. But I have issues with my reasoning on why I won't speak up when I see this kind of vitriol and hatred online. First of all, I don't want to be a bystander to something that's causing harm. I trust that I have a perspective, and therefore a voice, that could be beneficial for people to hear, and that I could genuinely help. Also, by not saying anything, I'm not challenging myself to learn skillful ways of responding to and combating this kind of aggression. And on top of that, I'm not contributing to the conversation by not responding. My silence, in and of itself, is kind of condoning the behavior. It's saying, okay, we're not really going to call you on that, because maybe it's not so bad, when really it is. Living life as an experiment is a challenge. It pushes us into uncomfortable places because it invites us to respond differently than how we normally would. It's about breaking habits and forming new, healthier, wiser, more helpful ones. It's about remembering things that we've learned and then pulling on them in the moment for the greater benefit and well-being of everyone involved. But it's also important to check where we're at and not push ourselves too far. So before anyone decides to go all social justice warrior on an MRA or 4chan member, it's important that you check what you're capable of emotionally. In reflecting on this, I really like to remember a verse from the Bodhicharavatara about protecting our minds. When in wild, unruly crowds, we move with care to shield our broken limbs. Likewise, when we live in evil company, our wounded minds we should not fail to guard. If ever there is a wilder and unruly crowd than people on the internet, I have not encountered it. So, the first step I advise when dealing with conflict online is to measure out the intensity of the conflict and your own ability to cope with it. There are some conversations I won't speak up on simply because I know my state of mind isn't up for it. I won't be able to maintain equanimity, and I can pretty much guarantee that it'll make me feel worse, as well as resolving nothing. But if I check my state of mind and I feel confident that I have something to contribute and that it will be of benefit, or I trust I have a skillful response to diffuse some of the aggression, I totally go for it, and so should you. So, how do we work with the conflict that we see online? The first thing is totally about our state of mind. It's important to check what your intention is before you respond to anything. To do this, I ask myself a few key questions. One, am I triggered by something that's being said? Two, do I want to protect my feelings or do I want to address something for the well-being of everyone involved? And three, am I able to empathize with the person or people that I'm going to engage in conversation? Note I said engage in conversation, not yell at, call out, say mean things to. So if we're going to de-escalate something or plant a seed for someone to think differently, we need to remember that this is another person we're talking to. If I've been triggered or I feel like I'm out to protect myself and need to lash out, and especially if I'm just limiting that person to a jerk, I take some time to remind myself that there is a human being on the other end of that comment. It was typed by a person just like me. A person who doesn't do anything because they want to feel worse. A person who is someone else's favorite person. A person who has a family, who has a job, who has a whole life I know nothing about. I really recommend this kind of visualization, not just because it reminds us that these are people, not pixels, that we're communicating with, but because it's an opportunity for us to pause. It slows us down. Which is another great step to take when dealing with anything online, conflict or otherwise, really. Don't rush it. Too often, online interactions are carried out in the time that we're killing, while we're waiting in a queue or stuck on the train, or waiting for a movie to start, or a friend to show up for a lunch date or something. We're not really engaged while we're going online. It's snippets of engagement here and there for a few minutes at a time until something more interesting shows up. So we respond rapidly, sometimes without thinking at all. To help combat this passive way of interacting online and to make sure that I'm not just shooting from the hip in response to something that I find irksome, I've taken to actually adding online time to my to-do list, like set a timer and then sit down and be present for it. Like, I'm gonna go on Facebook for the next half an hour, and I am going to genuinely interact with people. When the timer goes, I close my computer down and I move on to the next task. In this way, I'm using the internet really actively. It's not passive. I'm doing it with the same awareness that I try to cultivate in any action that I carry out. And what I found about going online with this intention is that my online interactions give me the same sense of connection that I would get from seeing a person face to face, when before they really didn't, simply because now I'm genuinely thinking about the other person as a person, and I'm not just thinking about how to kill some time. The other thing to remember when we decide to address some sort of vitriol that we've come across is how we feel about being called out. Shame is a crappy thing. It doesn't help change behavior and usually involves scapegoating a single person for a much larger societal problem. Remember, it's not that person who is the problem. The problem is a mindset, which will have a lot of contributing factors and is probably much, much bigger than just that one person's racist or sexist or transphobic post. Any one of us can slip up and say or do something unkind or misinformed. We all have unconscious biases at play. So consider, if you made a statement based on what you understood from your experience, how would you want someone else to point out that it might be harmful or unhelpful or even immoral? If the option to have the interaction through direct messaging is there, I try to take that. I try to have a private interaction with the person, one-to-one. But then, if it is part of a larger societal problem and we have an educated, well-thought-out contribution to make, when posting it publicly, we should be clear that it's the misinformation we are attacking, rather than the person who posted it. It's really helpful to share resources, send links to valid articles or accounts to back up what your contribution is. This way, you're giving people the opportunity to think about the conversation, think about the discussion, and engage in it and become involved in it. I actually have a little collection of links that I save of articles or videos that offer greater insight into complicated systems of discrimination or systemic problems that I encounter. The last tool, and one which is really, really important, is to remember that no one has to change their mind. If they change their mind, that's up to them. Your role is to be the voice of reason. Acting out of kindness, ensure that you're responding with the intention of contributing to the greater well-being of the whole planet and everyone that lives on it. You don't have to have any expectations on how people should or shouldn't think. That's not why we're doing it. We're doing it so that the person who comes across the exchange, who doesn't necessarily have any thoughts on it, or could easily go in any direction, we'll see the reason and validity of what we've chosen to write. We're doing it because the internet is an archive, and there's the possibility that one day, someone might see what we posted, and it might be just the thing that they need to read in order for them to be more open, more kind, and more compassionate to others. Thank you so much for listening to Everything is Workable. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, share with your friends, or post it to social media. You can also consider becoming a patron, which has really cool perks like getting art prints or a signed book in the post. Just click the green Become a Patron button on the Everything is Workable Podbean page. Thank you as well to the very talented Dexter Britton for sharing his music with the world so that I could use it for this podcast. You can find more of his stuff on www.dexterbritton.co.uk. And you can find more of my stuff at faunawolfcreations.com.